For those of you joining us today, one of my favorite parts about that intro, if you're watching the live show, is literally the last slide, which says, enjoy the show. And I have some beaded gold lights or whatever. I don't know. We chose it. It was interesting. But if you get to listen to the podcast, but you don't get to see the live show, you're missing out because we have some fun with our slides. But the team here is working hard to create and bring to you the Circle of Knowledge podcast, sponsored by the Champion Circle Networking Association, which is a local networking association built on the principles of Think and Grow Rich and also just personal and self-development. We focus on collaboration over competition, and we focus on the idea that it is your own personal will to win and your accountability built into that so that you can measure your success and accelerate the opportunities. I'm the co-founder and sponsor of that, but also just proud to be here. It's been years after years of doing the show and working hard and creating opportunities to listen, learn, and to grow as a community. And you, our listeners, are a community of knowledge seekers, and I love that. I personally get to be selfishly involved in this because I get to sit front row every single Friday and to learn from amazing individuals who I connect through various platforms and resources all over the world. It's such a blessing and such an opportunity. And selfishly too, I get to ask the questions based on what I think you, my listeners, are interested in. Before I introduce today's individual guest and speaker, I just wanted to just remind you guys that the 13 Steps to Riches are a 13-volume book series based on Napoleon Hill's work and Think and Grow Rich is on a roll, and book number 5, volume number 5 on the principle of imagination goes live, available for purchase on Amazon on March 15th. So we are 11 days out. And if you're listening to this and it's March 15th, go on Amazon and grab a copy. It's going to be awesome. We've already hit number one bestseller in our pre-sales, which is pretty exciting. So if you wanted to go grab a e-copy, it's like $1.99. Go grab that. I'll owe you a cappuccino at some point if you do so. That way we can continue to share some insight and knowledge. All right. With that being said, I'd like to introduce today's amazing speaker and guest on the Circle of Knowledge podcast. Her name is Dara Rosenbaum, and she is an amazing human being. But let me tell you a little bit more about her. Dara is an attorney. She's a business owner and a business advisor, mentor, and wife and mother. Whew. She is passionate about helping small businesses and other entrepreneurs reach their personal and professional potential and is proud to support them any way she can, whether it is in the boardroom or in the courtroom. She's got a legal background. She's got quite the experience and a long, long resume, longer than anyone's I've seen before. And she's just had an opportunity to share and help so many business owners, people, and humans throughout the country in many of her in many of her endeavors, as well as just utilizing the knowledge and the experience that she has. I'm really excited to bring her to the stage and bringing her up right now. And Dara, thank you so much for joining me today on the Circle of Knowledge podcast.
John, it's a pleasure to be here.
And I'm also excited too, because Dara is in just getting into the podcasting world, and she too will be launching or is launching her very own podcast, which is pretty exciting too. And we can talk about that and send some people your way so that they can subscribe, listen, and learn more about that as well.
Sounds great.
You're joining us from the beautiful state of New York today. Is that correct?
I am. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And just out of curiosity, because it's 16 degrees out my window, what's the weather on your area of the world?
My computer says it's 29 and sunny, but it feels like it's about 15. So
it's that eastern humidity, man.
That's right.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm obviously we just don't let anyone on the show. We do a little vetting, and your story, your background fascinated me, and your expertise and knowledge. And plus, anytime that I can kind of pick the brain of somebody who's in the legal world, I always love that because there's just so much that we can learn. And I've always learned in my dealings as a human being, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur who's definitely made a lot of mistakes, and a lot of them have been costly legal mistakes. Mm-hmm. It's just good to have a friend in the business to know, to advise you. I've been talked off the ledge many times to help me personally comfortably and confidently move forward with my business, even amidst, you know, the fog, the craziness, the ambiguity, but also the unknown and the uncertainty. And your story really fascinated with me. So I'm excited to introduce you. And I want to give you the, I want to give you the microphone and ask you a really open-ended question. And that is, Derek, can you tell us how you became who you are today? I mean, you can start back as young as, you know, as you can remember, but tell us the journey from young Dara to today's present Dara. And I'd love to just learn a little bit about your story, your background, and who you are.
Sure. So came from a wonderful family, grew up on Long Island. I have two younger brothers and a younger sister. We're all in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area, very close family. My family's grown. My immediate family is now 14. I've grown with significant others and children, which has been terrific. Spent my early years thinking I wanted to be a coroner. That was my plan. It was a great show, if anybody remembers, a little older, a bit of a show with Jack Klugman. He was called Quincy. Yeah. And he traveled around and he had this amazing, exciting life. He did forensic pathology. And I didn't understand that he wasn't just a coroner, that he was also a private detective and a private investigator and a, you know, an expert on all sorts of things. And I said to my parents, I want to be a coroner like Quincy. And they said, well, there are sometimes they're just dead. There's not a lot to do. And you don't get to fly out to Paris and catch the bad guys. And I was like, well, maybe not what I want to do then. And switched pretty easily into law. Really, really liked, you know, constructing arguments and, you know, being on mock trial teams and debate teams and all those kind of things. And knew that, you know, knew probably early high school that I wanted to go to law school. So I went to college, Johns Hopkins, went down to Emory in Atlanta for law school and, you know, knew I wanted to be a lawyer. So got, you know, difficult getting my first job. I didn't have many contacts in New York, hadn't built that network in New York. And it's, you know, lots and lots of lawyers in New York and lots and lots of people who want to practice law in New York. Found a job at a small firm doing half admiralty, which was sort of maritime cargo shipments and things like that. Yeah. And half personal injury, property damage, insurance defense type work. There about a year, had my own office. It was a dream. I had an office. I had a window. It overlooked a cemetery, but it's okay. It was a historic cemetery. Alexander Hamilton is buried there, so not as weird as it might be. Then 9/11 hits, and the firm lost a lot of business. And it was a sort of last in, first out situation. So January 2002, the senior partner brings me in and is emotional and kind, but says, listen, we just can't keep you. And okay, deep breath. Okay, you know, don't cry. And you know, took my cell phone, went downstairs and called my dad and said, you know, I don't know what the plan is now. So what are you going to do? And I was like, right now, I'm just going to cry. I went back upstairs and the senior partner's son said to me, you know, this is terrible. I can't believe this happened. But my girlfriend's boss is hiring. And I was like, you know what? It's too fresh. Maybe I'll become an interior designer. Maybe I want to go back to school and become an architect. I'll do something else. I don't know. I don't know. Took me about 2 days to go, like, you know what? I probably should interview with this guy just in case, because I need a job and I have this apartment in the city and I gotta pay my bills and I'm, you know, independent and professional, but I needed something to obviously to work. I needed a job. I went and interviewed and I remember saying to the guy, I said, well, you know, what's your process and how many people are you looking to interview? And when are you looking to make your decision? All those typical end of interview questions. And he put his hand on this giant stack of resumes. Like, well, I have to get through these. I have no chance at this job. He hired me. It's February of 2002. And he is now the tailor up there to my Rosenbaum and Taylor. We worked together at that firm for 10 years and then started this firm 10 years ago. So we've been working together. It was just 20 years.
Wow.
And it's been an incredible partnership. The only thing we disagree on is the use of the Oxford comma.
I love that.
The only disagreement we have ever had. So it's an absolute blessing to have such a wonderful partner and to have built this firm with him.
I love that. That's a great joke, by the way. You can
use that it's not a joke. It's true.
You can use that on TED Talk. That is that's great. In all the books that we're involved in and the things we're writing, that's always the big joke, because our editors deal with other editors and, mm-hmm. and they're always like, all right, this just in. We just found out that the Oxford comma is written. they push it. But I love that. And I have to tease a little bit too and just share, man, law school must have been really hard to have grown up in Long Island and to have lived in New York for the majority of your life, mm-hmm. to have escaped with never having a Long Island accent or even a New York accent. I don't know where that's coming from, but I'm very impressed. But
it got the 4 years in Maryland, 3 years in Georgia. I think it just got very muddled. And
I just got mixed with all the.
I don't mind the accent on other people. I just never thought it sounded great on me.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I have a friend who lives in Long Island, actually a client as well. And very thick accent. It's amazing. It's beautiful. But anyways, back to you, because this is amazing. And I appreciate the story, the background, the list, and wow, the hardship. Like, I know what layoff feels like. I know what that's like. And I know many people listening to our show, especially the listeners who started joining us during the pandemic, mm-hmm. because they experienced that. They know what that feels sure. like. And it's not a fun feeling. But when you take that risk, which was, you know what, I feel like I should do this interview just in case, because I don't really have anything lined up. What do you feel like was going on in your head then? You were like, man, should I just become an interior designer? You were considering an entire career role change. And kind of walk me through that experience. Like when you're faced with absolute just shock, mm-hmm. What steps do you take to overcome that challenge? And what do you do as a result to protect yourself in that regard?
I would say I had no idea what to do with it back then. Back then, 2002, new professional, I had no idea what to do with it. And I think what drove the decision to go have that interview was just panic. I was like, all right, I need, I know how to do this job. I think I can do this job. Let me go and see if this guy is the right guy to work for, or at least it will give me a job and I'll stay for a year or two, mm-hmm. 20 years ago. I think now what I do when I'm faced with those things is that I have a wonderful business mentor who said to me, whenever I call and say, this happened or this is happening, or there's something that, something looming that I have to deal with. It's like, what's the opportunity in it? Mm. What opportunity do you have? And sometimes it takes me, sometimes between minutes and days to see that there can be an opportunity. But I think it's about regrouping. And I think that, when you get knocked off your feet, whether it's you see it coming a mile away or you don't see it coming at all, the business closes, you get laid off, you have a disagreement with the boss and you don't want to stay there anymore. You have to find that, okay, what am I going to do next? Yeah. And, I think the next for me could have been, let me take this job, let me stay a year, and I'm going to go to school at night and do something else. But I think that was a knee-jerk reaction. I mean, for me, it was, I know I love law. I know I love practicing law. I know it's what I wanted to do. And I think it was just, I don't know, I got knocked down, and what do I do next? And I think that what do you do next is sort of what differentiates people who are more successful. And I try to preach that to people I mentor to say, listen, you may be in a situation that you didn't cause, or even if you did cause it, or it's a situation that you didn't want to find yourself in, but you're there. What do you do now? And I think that really separates people in terms of people who can be a little bit more resilient and more agile to say, okay, what's next?
Brilliant. And I can't help but think a little bit that a lot of inspiration and opportunity comes from our natural instincts as humans to fight or flight, right? To mm-hmm. do what it takes to scratch, dig, mm-hmm. scramble, whatever it needs when we're in those situations, even though we really don't know the proper steps to take when we're Absolutely. Faced with adversity. So
that's a very good observation. It's completely true.
I want to dive into Rosenbaum and Taylor a little bit. If you could tell us a little bit about what y'all specialize in, but then also give us the layman's terms too, so that some of us not as intelligent individuals can understand what type of law do you guys practice or provide, and how you've been able to do it for so many years, helping people doing what you do.
Well, I will tell you, I'll preface by saying I often say that lawyers don't have to sound like Shakespeare. We don't have to write contracts that sound like, like they came out of, Macbeth. They don't have to say, the party of the first part and henceforth the party of the second part. Just, I ask my clients what they want to accomplish. And it's like, well, let's figure out a simple way to say that. And let's figure out a way where when you present the contract to somebody to sign, you can explain it to them. You don't have to call me to explain it to them, and they don't have to be intimidated by it. So I always try to keep it simple. We're business law attorneys. So we do transactional work as well as litigation, meaning we do the paperwork, we do the business formation, we do the contract drafting, the contract negotiating, contract updating. We review insurance policies. We help clients negotiate contracts, make strategic decisions about what they're going to put in the contracts, whether that's a, hey, the cost of steel has gone up, so we need to set some pricing changes in effect, or whether it's, you know, I want to grow my subscriber base, so how do I deal with that? We also handle litigation. So sometimes, you know, relationships don't go the way you want them to, and there's a conflict. My goal is always to resolve the conflict without combat, I say. But sometimes, you know, light combat or even heavy combat is necessary. So, you know, we go to court, we either, you know, bring lawsuits or defend lawsuits arising out of contract disputes or partnership disputes or anything, you know, really anything in a business law context.
Awesome. That's great. And I thank you for simplifying it for me, simple folk myself, but that really helps. And I think that a lot of people just need to know, especially in the word, you know, legal, it sounds so unapproachable, very scary, very doomsday. And you, Dara, what fascinated me about you, your story and your personality was that you make it simple, you make it easy, but you also make it approachable. And I love that. Mm-hmm. And I definitely see aspects and attributes in your story about how you and your partner developed R&T. What an amazing aspect, because I think people need more of that in the world. They need to know that, yeah, I can have a relationship with my legal team, my lawyer, and I can also, you know, they can go to battle for me. We can work together. And it's just, mm-hmm. it's relieving, because as much as I say it on the show, you know, nobody goes through life unscathed. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you're an entrepreneur, it's inevitable. You're gonna be faced with legal things that are you're gonna feel like, oh my gosh, this is the end of the world. I'm getting sued here, or I need to, you know, take down someone here, or whatever it is. There's just so many great opportunities for us to learn more about the process, and doing so with friendly faces like yourselves.
I think this is about how, you know, there's a lot of opportunity with the legal aspect of owning a business. So it doesn't have to be combat. It doesn't have to be, we have a dispute and we have to go to war. It could be, you know, it's exciting. I'm forming a partnership with a new partner, and we want to make sure that we're doing this the right way, so that if something happens to one of us or one of us wants to retire, we have this document that we're going to use to guide our decisions. Or, you know, we want a management agreement, or we need an operating agreement. So it's not always, and it shouldn't be a negative thing. It should be, you know, I have a new opportunity. How do I frame this? It, you know, listen, we've come into new revenue, and we're going to get into a new area of practice or a new area of, you know, new area of production. And how's the best way to do that? So it's better. And listen, I'm happy to deal with the aftermath of things, but I like to get involved and get creative on the front side of things, so that you can help the businesses grow and profit and thrive. I mean, that to me is where my role is most exciting.
I love that. And I love that angle, because thinking less about what people are used to hearing about legal side, mm-hmm. you're talking about an even cooler principle, which is, let's plan ahead. Let's be ahead of the game, and let's find, you know, resources and avenues for you in the future, so that you can be there when, you know, when things happen, when life happens, or when, you know, you have big events and things that need to transition your current agreement. So that's very important. I think my listeners, especially myself, are eager to hear that, because they're all business owners. They're entrepreneurs, they're business owners, 1 to 5 years of business. They want to know, and especially there's 60% of my audience are women, female business owners, and they want to know more about, you know, what are some of the things that they need to do. And so do you by chance have, and I'm putting you on the spot here, so sure. I apologize, but what are some of your, just from your perspective and from your experience, some business tips for young female entrepreneurs, or even just entrepreneurs in general, mm-hmm. as they're getting started with their business? What are some of the legal steps that they should always take when launching their business, or when taking that next step to being their sole proprietor or LLC or corp or whatever?
Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about formation, I always advise that somebody speak to an accountant, and it doesn't have to be a long engagement. It just has to be a conversation. You know, it should not be very expensive, where you learn and decide, do you want to be an S corp? Do you want to be an LLC? Do you want to be a sole proprietorship? Do you not want to form a formal entity right away? Do you want to wait to do something like that? Because the basis for those corporate structures is taxation. And that's more their area than mine. And then you want to make decisions early on. And if you form the business already and you're running the business already and you don't already have these pieces in place, it's never too late to put them in place. So, you know, it's easy. Like, for example, Scott and I started this business together and it was just the two of us. I mean, we were doing everything. We were, you know, we were making the photocopies. We were doing the scheduling. We were putting stuff in envelopes and we literally did everything. And as we grew, we needed to have a structure so that we had, you know, a clear reporting structure for people, that we had agreements in place to, you know, so we can protect ourselves and our families. And we don't disagree on anything. And we don't foresee disagreements about anything, but we have to have a document that shows what our intentions are and what, you know, what everybody's rights are should something happen to one of us, or should somebody want to retire, or should somebody become disabled in some way. So I think early on, you really want to set up those documents both for internal purposes and for external purposes. So internally, do you have an operating agreement? Do you have a partnership agreement? Do you have bylaws, you know, depending on what kind of entity you are? And then I think what you want to set up is, what are your relationships going to look like with, you know, whether they're your clients or your customers or your vendors? What are your external agreements going to look like? And what you really should have, in my opinion, is a strong set of documents. You shouldn't need to go to an attorney every time you have a new deal or every time you get a new customer. You should have a document that you can use, and you know, it may be a little bit of plugging in things. You say, like, listen, if it's this, you know, if it's this deal, then I'm going to need this particular paragraph in there. You know, I'm going to choose these things, but it should really be something that is very versatile for you, that covers all the bases in terms of protecting you, whether it's insurance or indemnity, which is basically just transferring of risk. But, you know, all of those things that need to be in your documents, and you should have those updated periodically, but you shouldn't need a fresh document every time. So if you take the time and invest the money in getting a good, strong set of documents that you can feel confident in, you keep reusing those. And you, like I said, you just, you know, you're changing names and you're changing terms and you're consulting, if necessary, with an attorney on a much briefer basis because you have the agreement already in place.
Wow. Brilliantly said, and thank you again for keeping it simple. I really appreciate that, and I know my listeners are really going to eat that up, because that's some wise counsel and advice, and just proper planning. And I feel like that's what it comes down to, is good old proper planning.
And I'll say that proper planning saves you a lot of money down the road.
So much.
You may skip having the formal contract. You may skip, you know, putting in all that formal language that you probably need. And then later you may have to call me and say, you know, I'm a new client. I didn't have a contract, but I had this dispute. Like, Okay. Well, now we're in a different arena, as opposed to, you know, I have a contract, here's where it is. It's executed, it's signed, and it has everything that I would want to have in there.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, this is amazing. This is fascinating. And yeah. I know that there's so much more we can learn, but I'd like to transition a little bit here and ask you, you know, for the meat and potatoes of my show, which is, you know, what's some nuggets of knowledge, some really, really important information that you'd like to bestow on my listeners, something that they should know based on what you've discovered, what you learned, or from your expertise? What's one of those nuggets of knowledge you'd like to share with my audience?
I always tell everybody, with the business owners I work with or some of the young women I mentor, you have to ask. It's amazing how people are just willing to share with you their information, share with you their experiences, share resources with you, share advice with you, if you just ask. And nobody's going to knock on your door and say, hey, I heard you needed a recommendation on an accountant, or I know you needed a particular system and I have one that I would recommend, or I know you're really stressed and do you want to have a cup of coffee, because I've been there and I've had that experience too. You have to reach out. And I think that, you know, there's just a wealth of knowledge out there. There are so few of us doing something that nobody's ever done before. So if you reach out to people, I think you'll be really amazed at how much people are willing to share. And the second thing is that I think it kind of goes hand in hand, is you need to build your network before you need it.
Oh, yeah.
So if you, you know, if you, whether you're going to be looking for a job or you're going to be calling on people to, you know, for new clients or new referrals or new customers or whatever type of business you have, you need to have those people. If they're not in your world, they don't know to recommend you. And people, I think, react much better to, hey, we've had a longstanding relationship. I know you. I trust you. Yeah, I'd absolutely refer you to somebody, or I'd like to use you myself, or by all means, you know, let's work together in a business relationship, rather than that sort of cold email coming through LinkedIn or the cold message coming through LinkedIn that says, oh, hey, I went to the same college as you did, and I was wondering if you'd like to hear my sales pitch. So I think you want to have those really strong connections and those strong relationships. And they're not necessarily about what somebody can do for you. It's really what you can do for each other and what you can do for them. So you always want to be providing value. You always want to be looking for ways to connect them to people who could help them. And that might not even be at a time where they can help you, but it might be, it'll come back to you later. And I think it'll come back to you later in ways that you won't even necessarily expect. But I think that forming that network and planting those seeds and being of value to people really sets you up for a lovely network that you can use later on when you need it.
Thank you for sharing those two principles. I wanted to dive a little bit deeper into them for my own curiosity. And I love that you shared that. Principle number one, for sure. And I'm curious, Dara, from your experience, why do you think it is that people are just so afraid to ask? I mean, do you think that they think of the worst case scenario already in their mind before they even go to somebody? Because there's a lot of people that are just missing the simplest principle of life, which is just ask. People are always willing to share. Why do you think people are afraid to ask?
I think that in some cases it's because you're showing vulnerability. You know, you're showing something you don't know, or you're sharing with somebody a pain point you have. You know, a lot of people, especially business owners and business leaders, want to appear to everybody to be Superman or Superwoman. You know, I know it all. I got it all. I got this. And I think that, in my experience, the more vulnerable you are and the more you're willing to share something with somebody about something that you're struggling with or something that you just don't know how to do,
right,
the more you realize that everybody's in that same boat and everybody doesn't know something. At some point, somebody's going to reach out to you for advice. But I think that a lot of people just don't want to kind of, you know, take that superhero costume off and say, you know, I don't know how to do this. You know, you think that I'm a business owner, I'm a business leader, people look up to me, I employ people, or I'm a solopreneur. I should know everything. And the truth is, nobody expects you to know everything. People expect you to ask for help. And I think genuinely good people enjoy helping.
Yeah. And based on, thank you, by the way, who very well said, that was a very great answer. And to the second principle, what a fortuitous response is build your community or build your connections and your network before you need them. And I love that. And I wanted to dive into that mostly because of my fascination, but what should people be planning for? I mean, they obviously want to surround themselves with a variety of expert knowledge and so forth, but what do you think they need to do to create the network in advance? Is it just building a network of people you trust? Is it building a network of people in like-mindedness? But what's kind of your thought process behind building your network before you need it?
I think be curious is something that, because there's lots of people who are in businesses today that they may not be in. You know, the days of I walked out of college, got my degree, and got a job at a company that I'm going to retire from in 50 years or over. So I think that a lot of people are doing things now that they may not be doing, you know, 6 months from now, 6 years from now. And I think the more people you meet and the more curious you get about what they do and why they do it and who they interact with, the more you're going to learn, first of all, you know, what you might want to do, how you might want to modify your journey in some way. But I think you're also going to learn, you're going to learn from them. So I think that, you know, whether they're people you meet professionally who you want to stay in touch with, I think that you need to have some kind of system for following up. You know, you want to make sure that, you know, you're not just once a year sending the holiday card. You want to make sure that if there's something of interest that you see that reminds you of somebody, that you shoot them that email and say, you know, hey, here's this article I thought you might be interested in. Or, hey, I met somebody yesterday who I think might be of interest to you. I think you guys would have a lot in common. So I think that curiosity is certainly part of the equation. And I think just being open. So I think, you know, when you meet people, whether it's in a social setting or a professional setting or something personal, just be open to staying in touch with them. You know, add them to your LinkedIn network, add them to Facebook if that's what you do. You know, send them an old-fashioned letter, pick up the phone and talk to them, you know, schedule coffee. Those kind of things, I think, are the ways to, because people remember you. And then when they need something that you offer, they know how to find you. And when you need something that they offer, whether it's, you know, hey, I know I'm not, you know, I, for example, there's a man who I know who owns a small veterinary hospital up in Vermont. And he and I don't have a lot in common professionally, but when we, you know, there's somebody that I know who, you know, and he sort of trying to create more of a network of veterinarians and a system for veterinary hospitals. And I know a woman in Florida who is, you know, in the construction industry, and she sort of acts as an incubator for a lot of different construction companies. So I said, you know what, they might be great to talk to each other because I think a lot of what they're doing is very similar in terms of practice, just not in terms of topic. So, you know, putting them together and connecting them has no benefit to me other than that I feel good that I can do it. So I think that building your network in that way, where you meet people from different backgrounds, you meet people who, you know, may have gone to school with you, but they do something totally different or live in a different part of the country. I think just staying in touch and staying connected really helps you have that network. And because you never know who you're going to need to tap into. You may be in one industry today, you may be into another industry in 6 months, and you want to have all those kind of people you can connect with.
Brilliant. I thank you for sharing that. And I it's amazing. I was actually in a workshop recently where they were talking about how the average person is used to hearing the phrase, you know, that their connections and their context need to be, you know, somehow there needs to be a touch point, and that touch point needs to be, you know, anywhere from, you know, 10 to 15 touch points throughout the year before they're like, completely, I don't know, before they're buyers or before they're clients or whatever that becomes.
Sure.
But somebody was just saying in a workshop that that's evolved. Like, people need more hands-on connection. And so just continuing to build relationships, you know, 15 to 25 times throughout the year and throughout the time you spend with them. But I love that. Thank you for giving an actionable plan on how to do that too. That's a really, really amazing principle. And I'm grateful, and I'm very fascinated. I'm taking notes here. I'm like, wow, this is really good stuff. But what some of my key takeaways are: plan ahead, build relationships, develop those relationships enough to feel vulnerable enough to be comfortable and ask, and create that longevity with your network so that you can be taken care of, that you can take care of others, and so forth. And I love that that's sort of your principle too, is that if you don't ask, maybe they don't feel like they can ask you. So by opening up, you open up the doors of opportunity there.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Definitely.
Well, thank you for sharing those principles. I'm thrilled by that answer, and I'm thrilled by the education you've provided my listeners. Derek, what's a great way that my listeners could reach out and learn more about you and what you do? And obviously, they're feeling comfortable with who you are and the information you provide. What's a great way to reach out to you and to get on?
So the firm website is rosenbaumtaylor.com. And you can certainly reach out to me on LinkedIn. It's just Dara Rosenbaum. And if anybody wants to reach out, anybody who's a business owner or business leader, or just somebody who's curious and thinking about getting into business, I've put together what I call a business checkup checklist. So it's just sort of general things that you want to think about. And some of them, you know, obviously I don't practice all over the country, but they're general principles that really work for every business in every area. So it's things that you want to think about, things that you want to have in place, things that you might want to have thought through before you meet with an attorney, make those appointments and make the time that you spend with the attorney, which can be expensive, more efficient. So, you know, the more work you can do on the front end of it, the better off you're going to be. So that business checkup checklist is something that I think is good to have handy and to check in on to make sure that, you know, your insurance policies are up to date, your insurance, you know, that your insurance coverage is what it should be. Your contracts and your insurance policies sort of read together in tandem so that you're covered for what you need to be covered for. You know, if there are risks that are changing in your business that, you know, for example, whether it's something globally health related or it's something with the supply chain or something with just trends in the industry, that you're updating the way that you're doing things to reflect that.
Fantastic.
If anybody reaches out to me, I'd be happy to provide that.
Wonderful. And thank you for that. That's an incredible resource, especially for my entrepreneurial listeners. This is the part of the show where John attempts to spell something out for you guys. So go to their website. It is rosenbaumtaylor.com. That's R-O-S-E-N-B-A-U-M. And then Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R.com. And you can get a hold of them there. And she's got a free resource for you. So go get that, guys. Go get that download. That's amazing. Appreciate you doing that. And then obviously a few more questions. Dara's so approachable. You guys, you can connect with her. And oops, I took her off my screen and I pushed the wrong button. But you can connect with her there and so forth. And it's just, it's so refreshing to have a friend in the business and to know that, you know, you can plan ahead, you can get ahead of it all, and you just need to open up and ask. And I really appreciate that advice. And it's very, very sound.
I'm always happy to talk to business owners and business leaders and people who are even thinking of starting businesses. I'm always happy to have those. It's just a free conversation. I'm not looking to charge anybody for it. I just really enjoy helping people, whether it's navigating a challenge or taking advantage of an opportunity. I love doing that.
That's fantastic. Quickly, tell us a little bit about your show you're launching. I'm really excited to send some people your direction and they can go and listen and subscribe, listen and follow or whatever. But tell us a little bit about your show that's coming out.
So it's called Compelling Conversations, Where Law Meets Business. I'm the law, generally, although I'm certainly will have some lawyers on. We're pretty much a brand new show. I have already had...
We should get you a gavel and say, I'm the law. And then you just put
it. I do have one somewhere.
Okay. Sorry to cut you off.
That's okay. So it's Compelling Conversations, Where Law Meets Business. And, you know, so far we've learned from a woman who started off her career in finance, you know, 8 years at an investment bank and decided she wanted to become an entrepreneur. And she opened up a brick and mortar store selling high-end bridal gowns. And, you know, her story is unlike anyone's I've ever met. And she had lots of great advice in terms of, you know, the retail, brick and mortar retail. Another guest we've had is a woman who has spent her entire professional career in politics and started a side business online with absolutely no experience creating websites or any sort of product offerings online, sort of in the stepmom space. So two totally different people with totally different perspectives. And then another leader we spoke to who was in the environmental, social, and governance space, talking about, you know, things like increased social responsibility and that whether you're in retail or you're in manufacturing or you're in a service business, that those are all things that are really, you know, touching all sorts of industries. So the goal is diverse people with interesting stories and interesting things that my listeners can learn. I think that, you know, meeting great people, getting in contact with great people shortens the learning curve for everybody, because whether you're learning from their successes or their failures, you're learning something.
Wow. That's amazing. I'd love to send people your way. And in the podcast show notes of this episode, go and check it out. I'll put a link there so you can go and check out her podcast. I'm highly, highly excited about the content because we're law means business and I'm the law. Dara is just like an awesome communicator and she's got some really great conversations. I actually might have some people I'd love to refer over to you, some young female entrepreneur business owners who've done similar things to the previous examples you shared, but that's absolutely amazing. So thank you. Thank you for your time. I'd like to pass over, I guess I'm doing show and tell now, but I'd like to pass over the mic for a second and just see any last parting words you'd like to share with my listeners.
I would say that when it comes to business, just look for opportunities. Look for opportunities, whether it's resources you can use, people you can get introduced to, opportunities you can take advantage of. It's really if you don't try, you'll never know. And I think that, you know, I had a conversation with a woman this morning who said that she thinks failure is a stupid word. And I think that, you know, if you don't try things and you don't put yourself out there, whether it's talking to new people, networking with new people, taking advantage of new opportunities, forming a business, if that's what you always wanted to do, you never know how it's going to work out. So I would absolutely encourage anybody who is, you know, thinking about a business, working on their business, just to take those opportunities to expand and to grow, because there's really infinite possibilities out there when you do that.
Amazing. Give it up, everybody, for Dara Rosenbaum. Thank you so much for your time, Dara. And I'm grateful to have you on the show. And I can't wait to see the success that comes from your just journey and what you're working on. And happy to build relationships with my audience to the legal side of things and let the law begin. And I'm excited for it all. Appreciate you. And thank you for your parting words. And
this has been terrific. Thank you so much. I really, really enjoyed this conversation.
Fantastic. We'll have to have you back on the show again for more follow-up and more opportunities. Go and get your free download from her website. That's rosenbaumtaylor.com and learn more about them there. And we're just grateful for it. So thanks, wonderful. Everybody. Have a great day. And we'll see you on the next episode.